Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to another program where we're discussing the book of Job, and our topic is God guilty as charged? What we saw in our last program is that Zophar leveled an accusation against Job that Job had oppressed the poor and Job went around stealing people's homes. And so now Job is going to respond to Zophar. We see Job's response in chapter 21, Job chapter 21, and verses 1 through 2. Then we're going to read verse 34. So this is Job chapter 21, verses 1 through 2, and then we'll drop down to verse 34. Job answers Zophar, "Listen diligently to my speech. Let this be your consolation. How can you comfort me with nonsense, seeing that in your answers there remains only falsehood?" In other words, Job was calling Zophar a flat-out liar. He was talking nonsense, and he was saying, "In you, Zophar, remains only lies, falsehood." So now, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they both had taken two shots at Job. Now we're going to come around for a third shot. Each one of them is going to take their third chance at shooting down Job. And we see this, Eliphaz now, speaking in Job chapter 22, in verses 1 through 11. Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be useful to God, as he who is wise may be useful to himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is there any gain to him that you make your ways perfect? Will he reprove you just because of your reverence, or enter into judgment with you? Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without measure? For you have taken a pledge from your brother for nothing, and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have not given water to the weary to drink, and you have held back bread from the hungry. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are all around you, and suddenly fear troubles you, or darkness so that you cannot see, and a flood of water covers you." It's like, boy, oh boy. I mean, can a man get a break? First, we have Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar just spewing out lies, but at least those lies were just general. Job, you must be suffering because you sin, because this kind of stuff only happens to wicked people. That was general, and it's hurtful, and it's wrong, but at least it was just general. Then we see that Zophar was the first one to venture into the waters of pointing out something specific and saying that Job oppressed the poor and went around stealing people's homes. And now, after Zophar said that, it seems like Eliphaz becomes emboldened and he just starts to point out several things that Job did. Again, it's all lies, but look at this. Look at what he's talking about without any shred of evidence. He's saying, in verse 6, "For you have taken a pledge from your brother for nothing. You have stripped the naked of their clothing. You have not given water to the weary to drink, and you have held back bread from the hungry. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken." I mean, it's like Eliphaz is just blatantly blurting out that Job cheated his brother out of some money, that he beat people out of their clothing, that he callously ignored people desperate for food and water, and that he abused the orphans and the elderly. How can a friend say that without a shred of evidence? I mean, where did that hostility come from? And this is supposedly a godly man. Eliphaz claimed that he was representing God, speaking on God's behalf. But where did that come from? I mean, that's hard to imagine, unless, of course, they were really being influenced by the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil, because they surely weren't being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Now Job gives his rebuttal to Eliphaz. This is in Job chapter 23, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. Then Job answered Eliphaz, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. Surely he would give heed to me. That's what would happen. God would listen to me. There the righteous might reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge." Man, these are some harsh words, Job. Job better be careful. Now in verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot see him. On the left hand, where he works, but I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And what Job is saying is that he can't approach God because he doesn't know where he is, because God is hiding his face. God is a punk. God, why don't you show your face? If you showed your face, then I would have my name cleared before you. I'm going to come forth as gold when I'm tried. That's right. I'm going to come forth as gold. That's what he's saying. And you know, before I felt sorry for Job, but and I really still do because of his suffering. But I think that something is very wrong with Job's reasoning. Something has really gone awry in Job's relationship, his perspective of God. And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that I agree with Job's three friends regarding their accusations against Job concerning him suffering for his supposed sins. That's not the case. You know, we've established that over and over again, that Job is not suffering because of some sins that he did. That's not the case. So I'm not agreeing with his friends. But I am saying that God does have a problem, a quite justified problem, with Job's attitude. Now, of course, I'm going to ask you, if you agree in the first place that God does have a problem with Job's attitude, then what is the problem with Job's attitude? What do you think is the problem with Job's attitude? Now, after Bildad and Zophar each take their third turn, and I'm not going to actually go through theirs because they just say more nonsense, and so it's just like beating a dead horse. But after Bildad and Zophar each take their third, same lame shots at Job, we hear a final retort from Job. And this is found in Job chapter 27 and verses 1 through 6. This is Job chapter 27 and verses 1 through 6. Job continued, lifting up his speech, and said, verse 2, "As God lives, he has taken away my judgment. The Almighty has made my soul bitter. As long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should justify you, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Until I die, I will not retract my integrity. I hold tight to my righteousness, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not shame me any of my days." And then we find a final plea from Job in chapter 31 and verse 35. This is Job's final plea in Job chapter 31 and verse 35. "Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my signature. I'm writing this down. Take note of this." You know, I'm not saying anything behind closed doors. I'm not afraid to be bold and open. I'm putting this in black and white, in paper. "Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here's my signature. I'm signing on the dotted line. Let the Almighty answer me, and let my accuser write an indictment. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Now that last part, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were printed in the book," that was from Job chapter 19, verse 23. But it goes well here because he's saying in Job 31, verse 35, "Oh, that I had one to hear me. Let the Almighty answer me, and let my accuser write an indictment." I mean, those are some really, really harsh words against God. He's calling God his accuser. That's crossed the line. That's gone too far. I mean, who's the accuser of the brethren? who's the accuser of the brethren? That's Satan, right? I mean, man, it's like one of those kind of things. You don't want to stand too close to Job because some lightning might come and just poof, and he's out of there. But, you know, God is not like that. God understands that Job is going through, I mean, he's going through hell. He's catching hell on every side. He's suffering emotionally from the loss of his children and the loss of all of his possessions. He's suffering because his wife told him just to die and curse God while you're at it. And now his friends, who he thought were his friends, are actually showing animosity toward him, falsely accusing him. And then God, last but least, has not come through for him. God has not stepped up to the plate and defended him. So Job is mad at everybody. He's just mad at the whole situation. But, I mean, you just can't go that far. Never should we cross that line. But, you know what? Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." So all I have to say to Job at this point is be careful what you ask for now we are going to examine the very indictment you asked God to write. And that indictment is something we have preserved in a book we call the Bible with your name on it, Job, the book of Job. So let's see what God now says, first of all, through his defense attorney, Elihu, about Job and Job's three friends, and then we're going to hear from God himself. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll be back for the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.